Hi, you guys. Welcome back to the Uptown Rundown podcast. In today's episode, it's not going to be a serious one. We, you know, there's lots of stuff that I probably could talk about that is, you know, semi-serious, too serious. You know, I could talk about, but it's like, I don't see a point. Like, I don't see a point in discussing the Derek Chauvin trial week after week. Like, I just don't see a point of being like, oh, this person said this, and oh, this person, like, I really don't see a point in doing that because what is the point? It's like, we don't have a verdict yet. So it's like, okay, you know, come back to me when you have a verdict. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yes, update us on what's being said, but like, I don't need to update it. Like, I don't need to talk about it. You know, it's just like, blah, 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 blah. And then I also don't feel like talking about all these shooting deaths that have happened, like in the past, what, 7 days? All these very public, you know, shootings. Is it 2,000 shootings that have happened since the beginning of the year? I don't know. I don't think they're all considered mass shootings. I think they're considered, I don't even know. But like what, there are 8 people, I forgot where. It was either yesterday or the day before. I'm recording this on Friday, you guys. So I think it's 2 days ago or yesterday when it was 8 people dead. Oh, 8 people dead at a FedEx facility in the Midwest somewhere. I can't remember where. We're talking about the little boy, Adam Toledo, getting murdered by the police. We're talking about Dante Wright being murdered by the police. I'm not even going to talk about it because, again, like, it's not productive. The same way, like how I was saying, it's not productive to talk about the Derek Chauvin trial week after week. It's not very productive, at least for me. So for me to be discussing all these deaths, it's not productive because there's a bigger picture, right? Like, let's talk about the bigger picture. I can't talk about the same bigger picture every single week, right? So I just don't feel like talking about it. And here I am carrying on about what I said I'm not going to carry on about, right? Anyway, but let's get into what today's episode is actually going to be about. Today's episode is going to be about unpopular opinions. My unpopular opinions. I have quite a few of them. And I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I don't think I have as many unpopular opinions as I think I do. I think that you all just have problems admitting it. That's why I feel like, I don't know, like the views that I have, political, social, like people might see them as radical, but it's like, it's not. Like, I think it's just you guys are all too, like, you guys are weak. Like, that's what it is. You guys are weak. And I have no problem just, like, standing alone in whatever belief I have. There's this thing. Let's talk about I didn't even write this down when I was writing down the unpopular opinions. But let's talk about this saying that people have where it's like, oh, my truth, my truth. There is no my truth. There is no your truth. It is the truth. Facts are facts no matter who says it. You know what I mean? Like, you know how people are like, oh, just say your truth. It's like, what? What does that really mean? It's like your version of things. Like, fine. Word it that way. But like, your truth is stupid. Like, it's not your truth, my truth. It's the truth. And the truth is the same no matter who says it. I don't know why that came into my head. That just came into my head right now. But let's talk about a few unpopular opinions that I have. So I have a list here of quite a few. And, you know, some of them are very large topics and some of them aren't at all. Let's see. I'll pick, like, you know, some from the political realm, some from the social realm, and some just, you know, just like whatever. Where should I start, you guys? Okay, well, let's talk about fitness and the lack thereof. So I'm a trainer, right? So just to preface this whole talk about fitness and whatnot. So I'm a personal trainer. I go to the gym all the time. I actually just came back from the gym. It's 7:30 in the morning right now on a Friday. I feel like now is a good time to record. I don't know. I have to be in the proper mood to record the podcast, you know? Like, a lot of things have to fall into line. Like, one, I have to be in the proper mood. Two, I have to, like, have water because I can't just get up here and talk and have a Sahara Desert mouth. You know what I mean? Not that anyone asked for any of that information, but anyway. So, unpopular opinion. So, fat people, you need to stop with telling people that they're too skinny. Because you act like you're not flawed. Like, you're too fat. You know what I mean? It's like, people, so, when people are deemed as skinny, it's not, like, you don't mean it as a positive. So, like, for example, with me, like, I've been called skinny my whole life. And I know that people who say that, or who have said that in the past, it wasn't a compliment. Like, I know that. But meanwhile, those people would be in tears if someone called them fat. So, it's like, what? Like, how can you talk about someone's body shape and in such a disparaging way? Yeah, I'm so distracted right now. I'm looking out the window and there's someone looking. It looks like they're looking at me, but I know they're not. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm just going to look the other way. But how can you talk about someone else's body shape so much and then, but not be able to take the criticism when they want to talk about your body shape? And it's like, fat people always say, like, stop fat shaming and blah, blah, blah. Stop skinny shaming. You're doing the same thing. You're doing the same thing. But you want to cause the harm, but you don't want the harm to come back to you. So you're going to have to pick one. Either you are going to have to deal with the vitriol that you get back after spreading vitriolic comments about other people, or you're just going to have to be quiet. So you can't have it both ways. Well, you could have it both ways if you commit. See, if you weren't weak, then you could have it both ways. If you weren't weak, then say all the things you want. And then at the same time, you're going to have to shut up about what people have to say about you. You can say whatever you want to say about my body. Honestly, you can say whatever you want to say about the way my body looks. I like the way my body looks. So, I mean, talk all you want, and then I'll do the same about you. It really means nothing to me. Now let me look at this list again. Oh, actually, before I look at this list again, there's this other thing about, like, so, there's this new thing about body positivity, and I don't really understand. So, I think definitely the body positivity sort of, I guess, movement, it definitely falls under the wokety-woke crowd. So, for example, like, there are people all over the internet who are like, oh, I'm fat, and I'm proud. You know what I mean? And it's like, what's there to be proud of? Like, what is there to be proud of? It's just weird to me. It's all very weird. I didn't watch enough people to sort of discern if they are promoting being fat. I don't think they're promoting being fat. I think they're promoting, okay, you might be fat, but stand in it and stand in it proudly. You know what I mean? It's like, you are this way, so you might as well accept it. I think that's what the message is. I don't think it's a, oh yes, heart disease, oh yes, clogged arteries, oh yes, this and that. You guys, this guy, I'm still very distracted. This person is still looking at out the window, and he has his phone pointed. Like, what are you doing? I'm about to close this because I can't. But anyway, I'm sorry. And then he leaves. He leaves the window and then comes back 5 minutes later with his phone. What are you doing? What are we anyway? Oh my goodness, I'm so off track. This podcast is gonna be a mess. In case you can't already tell, it's raggedy. It's gonna be a mess. So buckle up. Buckle up. So yes. So I don't think the fat people in the fat positivity movement are promoting heart disease and yada, yada, yada. I think they're just saying you are fat, so you might as well just accept it. At least that's what I assume. I know that a lot of them are talking about exercise and, you know, a lot of them, I think, do exercise, or at least they say they do. I don't know. It's all really weird to me. Do I agree with them? I agree with them to an extent, you know, like, if you are fat, yes, like, just accept it. Don't be wallowing in your misery. Like, because if you're gonna be miserable about being fat, then try to do something about it. Like, I can't listen to someone complain about their situation if they aren't doing anything to change it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, those people who are just, like, upset about whatever it is in their life, but they keep doing the same things that caused them to be in that situation in the first place. You know what I mean? So that's where I stand in the fat positivity thing. In the same realm, I think men really have no excuse. I'm sorry to tell you guys, I don't think men have an excuse. So if you are a man and you live above the poverty line, I don't see why you are, you know, all these pounds overweight. I don't really see a reason for it. I mean, unless you have some type of illness, you know what I mean? But like, if you, like, let's just say that someone is just, you know, regular, you know, they're making, I don't know, and they're single and they're making like $40,000 a year. Honestly, I don't see why you aren't fit. I really don't. You could join Planet Fitness for $10 a month, and that's nationwide. $10 a month. So I really don't see, I don't want to hear anything about, oh, gym memberships cost so much. A lot of people, especially in New York, say things like, oh, gym memberships cost so much. Planet Fitness is $10 in New York too. So I really don't understand stop it. And scientifically, it is much easier for men to get in shape than women. It is much easier for men to build muscle than women. We have the testosterone for it. We are like, that's just what we are able to do. So again, I really don't see a reason for men who live above the poverty line to be obese, to be extremely overweight. Like, I really don't understand it. I do understand it. It's laziness, right? I definitely understand it. It's laziness. But again, I don't see that as an excuse. So, moving on to the next unpopular opinion. let's talk about, let's stay in the less serious realm for now. Oh, here we go. This is going to be fun. Let's talk about the fact that none of you guys are going to be billionaires, and none of you guys are probably going to be millionaires either. And so let's talk. Let's talk about how you guys need to stop listening to these money gurus on YouTube, these business gurus on YouTube. Stop listening to these people. They are swindling you. Have you ever seen, so you know how whenever you watch a video, and it could be about, it could be about anything, and you'll see like Tai Lopez on there, you'll see, you know, people like him on there, and being like, oh, you know, I'm in my, and this is a YouTube ad, right? So in the YouTube ad, it'll be Tai Lopez. It'll be one of his little flunkies. And it'll be like, oh, you know, a year ago, I lived in my parents' basement. Now, I'm surrounded by these five cars, and I'm making this much, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, it happened really quick. And I can tell you how, if you just, And then they tell you to go to their website, and it's this really poorly done website. They all look the same. All those websites look the same. You see them in the fitness realm as well, like these fitness YouTubers, these fitness influencers. They all have the same type of website, and it's all nonsense. So my thing is, If you are selling a product and your product is how to get rich, then you're a fraudster. You are a fraudster! Let's really discuss how these people have made their money. Because people like Tai Lopez do have money. Let's really talk about it. We know for a fact that you can rent cars, fancy cars, on, you know, luxury cars for a few hundred dollars for a day. You can, yes, you can rent a few cars, and each of them will cost a few hundred dollars a day. Okay? So it's very easy to fake it. You can rent a fancy Airbnb, park all those fancy cars that you rented for the day, and make a video. You can do that. Anybody can do that. And then they can, and it costs what? I mean, it'll probably cost you a few thousand dollars, right? But again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about pretending that you have a whole bunch of money. We're talking about selling a product to consumers under the assumption that they want to know how to make as much money as you make. But in actuality, you're fraudulent. It's like these people are fraudulent. They didn't actually make money by any legitimate means. They didn't make money by having a business. They didn't make money by working a job. They made money by making you think that they had money. Okay? That's what it is. And then another thing is that you can rent, I'm sorry, you can buy fake money. Like fake $100 bills. Like you can buy $10,000 of fake $100 bills for a few hundred bucks. Again, you don't need that much money to take some photos and make it appear like you have all this money. It's not that difficult. So, and then let's talk about the products themselves. The business products that these business gurus sell you. Trash! It's all garbage. It is all garbage. It's like the same regurgitated advice that you hear from, like, you know, just any old body. Like, oh, save. Oh, invest. Like you didn't need to buy a product to know that. You can get that type of advice for free. You can get that advice for free on the internet anywhere, and you didn't have to go to anybody's webpage and pay three easy payments of $19.95. You don't have to do that. You really don't have to do that. And the funny thing is, you all know that you should be doing that. So it's like, why are you, like you don't need these people's advice. I know what it is. It's because they appear to have all these flashy things. They appear to have money, right? But again, if you know, then you know. You know that it's easy to fake having money. And so therefore, you know that they're probably fraudulent. They are all fraudulent. All these people are the same. So don't listen to them. Do not listen to these money gurus. And sometimes, and you know what? As for looking up, you know, free advice for money on YouTube, be very leery, be very wary when it comes to listening to these people. Even for the free advice, because I've seen some really questionable advice. Like, I've seen people on YouTube be like, oh, Americans aren't spending their stimulus. And it's like, of course people don't want to spend their stimulus. You know what I mean? It's like, what? So the advice was, yes, spend your stimulus to stimulate the economy. And people don't have jobs. It's like, what? You know, so again, just some of the advice is very questionable. Use your judgment. Hopefully you have some judgment. I mean, you probably don't if you're falling for these money guru schemes. And if you are, I don't know what to tell you. I have no advice for you if you are falling for these money schemes. Because if you are, then you are dumb. That might be another unpopular opinion of mine. If you fall into the trap of these money gurus and start paying three easy payments in $19.95 for some regurgitated, repackaged, repurposed money advice, then you are dumb. Sorry to tell you. Like, I feel like most people haven't been told enough in their lives that they are dumb. I really think that this is the truth. Because, I don't know, the things a lot of people say, the things a lot of people do, it's just like, So, moving on. Oh, wait, no. No, we aren't moving on from that. Let's talk about the MLMs. So, MLMs are an interesting thing. MLM stands for multi-level marketing. And it's these repackaged, repurposed pyramid schemes. These repackaged, repurposed Ponzi schemes. Basically, so if you don't know what an MLM is, if you don't know what a multi-level marketing company is, an MLM, for example, well, you probably do know what it is, but you just don't know that you know. So someone goes into your inbox and it's like, oh, hey, like I've been selling this, hair care products, this hairspray. And I think it would work great for you. Do you want to buy some? And then at some point they'll be like, oh, why don't you join and you sell it too? Like, I've made all this money selling it. Does any of that sound familiar? Have you ever gotten one of those messages? Typically, you'll get one from someone who you, like, haven't talked to in 10 years, who you haven't talked to in 20 years. Like, you'll get these messages from anybody. Or you might even get them from people you've never met. You might get them from people you've never met. And they'll be so interested in you. And they'll be like, wow, I bet you could do so great. And it's like, why do you think I could do great? You don't even know me. You know what I mean? So, what it is you have to pay, typically hundreds of dollars to join these companies in order to become a distributor of said product. It could be a hair spray. It could be, I mean, these people sell anything. Knives, you know, anything. Honestly, anything. And the weird thing is, most of the products that MLM sell is like stuff that no one really, like they try to do everyday products. That's what it is. MLMs try to do everyday products and like make them fancy. They're like, oh, we do, like we're number one in the industry when you're not. But the thing is, it's just Ponzi schemes. Because you don't make money from selling the product, right? Because the products don't sell. The products never sell because they're usually garbage. They're usually garbage. You make money by recruiting people. You make money by recruiting people. So listen to this. So listen to how MLMs really work. Once you join an MLM, you have to keep your membership active, right? You have to keep your distributorship active. And the way you do that is you have to buy a certain amount of product every single month. Typically a few hundred dollars worth. So you yourself are the customer. That's how MLMs work. And the way that they frame it is like, yes, you have to spend money to make money and you have to buy product, right? So that you can resell it. That's how they work it. Except you don't actually sell the product because nobody wants it. Look up any MLM. There's this MLM, this hairspray. It's called Monit. They have so many lawsuits against them because apparently people are using it and their hair is falling out. So, look, it's all bad. But the thing is, the way you make money in these MLMs is by recruiting people. So, therefore, they join under you. And remember, to keep your distributorship active, you have to buy hundreds of dollars worth of product every month. You get a portion of whatever your recruitments buy. So think of that. You get someone underneath you, they spend a few hundred dollars, and then you get a cut. So if you recruit 10 people, and then all those 10 people recruit 10 other people, you get a cut of all of those people. That's how it works. That's how you make money in an MLM. Because the distributors are the customers. You see MLMs being pushed. I feel like women are especially susceptible to MLMs. Mostly stay-at-home moms are susceptible to MLMs. You see them on YouTube talking about, oh, I was in an MLM, now I'm not. Like, MLM horror stories. Like, LuLaRue is one of them. They make leggings. Apparently, they're really, like they're really ugly. They rip easy. You hear about that a lot. Because, you know, they're at home all day, right? Like, what are you doing if the kids aren't there? You want to make some extra money. They frame it as you can just do it on your free time. Do it on your free time. And it's like, And the people who know, the people who are at the top of these MLMs, they know that in order for them to make money, someone else has to lose. Someone has to lose. Because, and another thing is, why join these MLMs when we have income disclosure statements? So through a period of time, lots of lawsuits have been, you know, won by people against MLMs. MLMs are always getting sued, and they're always losing. So, as per a landmark case against some MLMs, all MLMs now have to produce an income disclosure statement. This income disclosure statement will tell you, like, oh, 20% of people make this amount. 30% of people make this amount. Every single MLM's income disclosure statement reads as such. Okay, listen to this. It'll literally tell you something along the lines of 1% of people are making $200,000 a year. It'll tell you 12% of people are making $50,000 a year. And then everybody else is making like $500 a year. But remember, if you're making $500 a year, how much are you spending each month to keep your distributorship active? You're spending more than what you're making in a year. You are losing money. And I'm not even exaggerating. Look up any MLM income disclosure statement. Look up Monit. Look up Amway. Look up LuLaRue. All of them, all of their income disclosure statements read the same. All these MLMs are the same. And you guys just keep on falling for it. You guys think you're going to get rich. That's the thing. You're not going to get rich off of... And if you do get rich, you know that you're getting rich from frauding people, right? From defrauding people. You know that's how you're getting rich, right? From being a fraudster. Is that how you want to get rich? Maybe that's how you want to get rich. I mean, I guess. If you want to admit it, that that's how you want to get rich, then I have nothing to say because you're a fraudster and you're okay with it. And the way that that especially the women, the top women in these companies, they target single moms, army wives. They say things like, oh, don't you want to be a boss? Like, you always see that, right? They're always like, who? Because honestly, who doesn't want to be the boss, right? Everyone wants to be the boss of their own business, of course. So they frame it as, don't you want to be a boss? Don't you want to be a boss babe? Don't you want to be like a boss bitch? Like, that's what they say. This is what they say. But the thing is, you're not going to be a boss. And if you join this and then you try to recruit other people, I have a problem with it. Because you're not a boss. You're not a boss babe. You're not a girl boss. You're not a boss bitch. You're just a bitch. Because if you are doing this, then you know the fact that in order for you to win, someone else has to lose. You know this because you're spending $300 a month to keep your distributorship active, and you know that you want to try to make that back, so you'll try to get anybody else in by any means necessary, and that is wrong. That is wrong. So we are done with that topic, you guys. Okay, what's the next one? Let's do something. I kind of want to do... Let's see. I talked about fat people. Let's talk about, oh, here we go. Let's talk about, men should have vasectomies at birth. Men should have vasectomies at birth. I'm sorry to tell you guys, I am so sick of the abortion conversation being centered around women and women being the only ones responsible. I think, oh, and how women should be the only ones being responsible for birth control. Why not, when boys are born, snip, snip, like, you might as well give everyone a vasectomy. The reason why, so I looked this up, the reason why you can't get a vasectomy under 18, obviously, it's because they want your parental consent, of course, right? But the thing is, a lot of, apparently, according to lots of things I read, lots of doctors don't want to do vasectomies on men younger than like 30 because they feel like they're going to change their minds. But it's like, vasectomies are reversible. So it's like, do a vasectomy at birth. You might as well do a vasectomy at birth. You already chop off our foreskins. You might as well keep it going. You might as well. Because, again, we all, like, women aren't the only ones responsible for unwanted pregnancies. Okay? Women aren't just, like, everyone's not just Mary being impregnated by God. Hello? Like, that's not the case. So, men, take more responsibility. I think, yeah, that's the way I see it. Vasectomies at birth, I think the state should pay for it. And boom, boom, boom. And if you want to get reversed, you can get it reversed. But you gotta pay. You gotta pay to get it reversed. That's the way I see it. You should have a state-sanctioned vasectomy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to tell you guys. That's an unpopular... I bet you that's an unpopular one. Get a vasectomy at birth. And I want everyone to know that if you have a vasectomy, like, I feel like men think that it means like you're getting your balls chopped off. That's not what it is at all. Everything still stays there. You can still come. Like, you can still do all that, okay? Like, you don't have to worry about any of that. It's just a matter of sperm being released, okay? Like, semen, yes, will still come out, but it won't have sperm in it. That's what it is. Anyway, let's move right along. Let's do a political one, right? Let's see. I am not going to get through... Actually, no. Let's stick with the whole pregnancy and, like, all this. So, I think that all boys, newborn boys, should get a vasectomy. I also think women over 40, stop trying to get pregnant. Just stop it, okay? It is, why? Because it's tired. It is too tired. Like, you are tired, I'm tired, your husband is probably tired, and your OBGYN is tired. No one, you don't need to try to have babies after 40. I really don't see why you want to do that. It is, like, it's quite selfish, I think, to try to have a baby at that stage in your life. One, you're, because you're too freaking old. Like, you're too old. The risk for chromosomal abnormalities goes up so much, and it's like, you're risking all this, risk of miscarriage, risk of losing your life. Like, you can die. Like, people, I feel like people frame childbirth as this lovely thing, and it's like, it's not. One, you poop all over yourself, you get this big old needle shoved up your back, it's like, what? And it's the closest that women will come to death. Like, it's not like this, like, like I'm giving birth. Like, no, it is not like, it's not sunshine and unicorns. It's, stop having babies after 40. It's not cute. Another thing, newborns are not cute. Newborns are not cute. I don't care. It's so weird to me, like, when people are like, oh, I just had a baby, and they're like, oh, it looks like me. It doesn't look like you. It looks like an alien. It looks like an alien. Newborns are not, babies aren't cute. Babies are cute after, like, 3 months, 6 months. It takes a long time for cuteness to become a thing. And I'll tell you when cuteness is not a thing, when it bursts forth from your cooch. It's not cute. It is not cute. Babies aren't cute. Stop it. Stop lying. Stop lying. I don't care. Please. Cute. Newborns are hideous. Another thing that's hideous? Crocs. Crocs are ugly. I don't understand the craze. Like, remember when Crocs became a thing, like in 05 or something like that? I feel like the general consensus was that they're ugly, and since then, people have changed their minds. What is wrong with you people? These shoes are not cute! What? Now, the people say that they're comfortable. I mean, I don't know. I've never subjected myself to even putting my foot into one of those hideous things. I won't do it. I don't care how comfortable they are. You will never see me with Crocs on my feet. Now, I guess a lot. Now, I think a lot of medical professionals wear them. Like, a lot of nurses wear them, right? So, I guess that's whatever to me. Because you're on your feet all day, right? You're on your feet all day. You're running around trying to save lives. So, and I mean, I feel like a lot of people would agree that you're wearing them for comfort, not style. Because what is stylish about a Croc? What is stylish about wearing foam on your feet? Like, what is... That's not stylish. That's ugly. Okay, now... How much time do I have? Okay, good. Let's move into a political unpopular opinion. I'm actually going through a lot of these much faster than I thought. So I'm glad about that, actually. Let's go into... Oh, here we go. So, let's talk about... Actually, this one probably won't even take very long. I don't understand why gay people want anything to do with churches. So, what is there to gain? Like, what... So, I feel like it's just a matter of people, of gay people trying to hold on to what they were brought up in. But we are just going to have to reckon with the fact that not everything you were raised with is a good thing. You know what I mean? It's like you don't have to be a part of a church to live a fulfilled life. You know what I mean? Now, there's all these gay-affirming churches, like, you see them all over the place, where they're waving the flag, you know, the pride flag, they, like, march in pride parades, I'm kind of just, like, I find it performative, and it's like, okay, fine, you might genuinely, like, I'm sure plenty of people who are in the church, if you're straight, I'm sure plenty of them are perfectly okay with gay people existing, gay people getting married, gay people adopting children, gay people having their own children. I'm sure they're okay with trans people too. Like, I'm sure, I am sure. But the thing is, it goes against your theology. So it's like, I'm just like, how genuine? Now, again, I do believe that they are genuine in that belief. But it's like, it's just so contradictory. I don't even know what to say about it. It's like, it's so contradictory. And it's like, as a gay person, well, I mean, hello, as me, like, do you look at the history? And do you look at present day? And then do you join a church and give money to a church? Like, do you do that? No! No! You don't. You don't. The same way... Okay, here's another one. Here's another... Oh, this one's going to be very unpopular. I don't really see what black people want to do with Christianity either. I really don't understand it. I really don't understand it. I feel like it has to do with... Well, it has to do with tradition, right? Like, you were probably raised in it. It's not like you follow it when you're 20, 30 plus. You really don't follow it. Let's be honest. Half of you that call yourself Christian, you don't follow what's in that book. Stop it! You don't follow it. I feel like it has to do with fear. And I'm not talking about being a God-fearing person. I'm talking about fear because you don't know what happens after you die. I feel like you think you're going to see your dead ancestors in heaven. Like, I've heard people say that so much. They're like, oh yeah, you know, like I've even heard people say things, and not just black people, I've heard people in general say things like, oh, when I'm in heaven, I want to ask Adam and Eve, why'd you eat the fruit? It's like, what? It's just like, are you even going to see Adam in heaven? Like, is he in heaven? And let me tell you a few reasons why black people, we will not see our dead ancestors in heaven. Let me tell you why, okay? Because no one has, clearly. So I am here to tell you why you won't see them in heaven. So, one, it probably doesn't even exist. Let's be honest, it probably doesn't even exist because all of the ideas, remember in an earlier podcast, I said that Christianity is just repackaged, repurposed Judaism for the Romans. That's what it is. So please, all those stories are borrowed. We know where the stories came from. We know that Noah's flood came as like partly of Greek myths, partly from Gilgamesh. We know exactly where it came from. So stop it. So one, it probably doesn't exist. Two, if it does exist, you're not going because you're a horrible person. Like, all the emotional torture you probably caused gay people in your lives, you're not going to heaven because you're terrible. Like, you're not going. If it does exist, you won't be there. So, therefore, you won't see any of your dead African ancestors there. And number three, if it does exist, those African ancestors aren't going there either because they didn't believe what you believe. The only reason you believe what you believe is because Europeans enslaved your ancestors. They believe in very different things. So it's like you're not going to see your dead ancestors in heaven. I'm so sorry to tell you. Black people have like this aversion to like voodoo, hoodoo, like, but all of that comes from African countries. It's like, that's what your ancestors practiced. So it's kind of funny to me that you think your dead ancestors will be in heaven because this religion, it didn't exist for them. You know what I mean? It didn't exist for them. We know that people were here long before Christianity existed. So it's like, shut up. Just shut up. Let's stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. I don't understand why black people are in the Christian church. Remember when I said just like a few minutes ago, do you look at the history and join? Do you look at the history of the Christians as black people and join? Maybe you do. Maybe you do. The fact that Christians had the biggest hand to play in slavery and genocide, like honestly, and then in more recent years, like people involved in the church are not good. Like, they're, especially in the Christian church, it's like Billy Graham is not your friend. Billy Graham is not your friend. You know, he was, like, very involved with, like, Liberty University that explicitly said that they don't allow black people in their church. I mean, at their school. It's like, is this who you, like, and people give money to this man? It's like, you know, and then you have, like, people like Jerry Falwell. He's dead now. But, like, right? Is that his name, Jerry? Anyway, I'm pretty sure Jerry Falwell. I know the last name, but is that his first name? Anyway, you know, a staunch segregationist. It's like, and these are Christians. And they use the Bible to uphold these beliefs. They use the Bible to uphold slavery. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that's not what it was intended to do. Fine. But that doesn't matter. Because what it did do is this. What the Bible did cause is atrocities. That's what the Bible caused. So I don't care what it was meant to cause. I don't care what it was supposed to mean. Because what it was supposed to mean has been lost. It has been lost. So stop saying that. You can't say, oh, that's not what it was supposed to cause. Because look what it has caused. It doesn't matter what it was meant to do. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, moving on. I feel like I'm losing my voice, all this yelling. Oh! Anyway. Here's an interesting one. Let's talk about, Actually, let's leave the serious. Well, this is a little. I don't know. I think women can get hit too. So if you're a woman and you want to fight a man with the expectation that he won't hit you back, I think you should think again. Like, I really don't understand why you think you can cause violence and not get violence back. It's the same thing that I said about the fat people and how they want to call skinny people skinny as an insult, but not get called fat as an insult back. It's like, you think just because you're a woman, you can't get hit too? Please, please. I mean, I am all for, listen, if you're in a relationship, you're a man and a woman in a relationship, and your girlfriend hits you, I think hit her back. Hit her back. I don't see why not. And I don't think it should be so demonized. I really don't think so. Because if you're causing violence, why would you not expect violence back? So, women, stop hitting men and thinking you're not going to get hit back. I hope you get hit back. Like, honestly, if you hit someone, I hope he hits you back. So, sorry about it. Like, sorry to tell you that. Next, let's talk about, I talked about that, I talked about this. We're almost done here, you guys. One, because I'm, I need to eat. I'm getting tired. Oh, here's an interesting one. I don't think white-collar criminals should go to jail, and I don't think drug dealers should go to jail either. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about white-collar crime, people. So, Bernie Madoff recently died. Bernie Madoff was in prison for doing probably, I think it's considered the largest Ponzi scheme in history. Like, he defrauded so many people. And so he was in prison for, I don't know, when did he go to jail? Maybe 2010? I don't know. Anyway, for the last 10 years or so, he's been in jail, right? I don't think you should go to jail for white-collar crime. I'm sorry to tell you guys. I don't really see a point. I think white-collar crime pays. I really do think it does. Listen to this. So let's take a scenario, right? Let's talk in hypotheticals. Let's pretend that you pull off, I don't know, a $20 million scheme over the course, like, you know, over the course of 5 years, you make $20 million because of fraudulent things, right? So you get convicted, and they say you gotta pay $3 million in restitution, and you go to jail for 5 years. That's worth it to me. I'm sorry to tell you guys, the way the system works, they make it worth it for these people to commit these crimes. They make it worth it. It's like, because the punishment isn't there. There's no punishment. No one's losing their licenses. No one's losing their law license when they practice, when they do law malpractice. No one's losing their licenses. No one's losing their Series 6 licenses. These financial people are just going right back to work after they get out of jail for fraudulence. For fraud. They're going right back to work as if nothing happened. And then it's like, you go to a Martha Stewart jail where you have like it's nice, like, quote unquote nice. You know what I mean? Like, you can buy your shampoo, you can buy your quinoa in these federal prisons for rich people. Like, you can do that. So it's like there's no point. Like, you might as well. Like, if you have the capability to do these things, you might as well do it, because it'll pay off in the end and no one will care later. Wolf of Wall Street, Jordan Belfort, did he even go to jail, you guys? I don't even know if he went to jail, but look how it's paid off for him. These people have to pay him for his likeness to make the Wolf of Wall Street movie. He did crimes and then later got paid for those crimes to be portrayed in Hollywood. He gets paid to do appearances. He gets paid to speak. He gets paid to do speeches. It's like he did all this mess, all this dirt, and it paid off for him. It paid off. So the way I see it, if you have the capability, if you have the ability to do this type of, to pull this type of stuff off, do it. I don't see why not. Why not? The law doesn't treat you nearly as badly as you should be treated. So you know what? Do it. Do it. You might as well do it. And then another thing is like, even if it's like regular people doing like smaller scale, like, you know how you read stories about like credit card schemes? I say do it. I say do it. Because one, I don't think you should go to jail for scamming a system that scams you every day. Okay? So it's like, you might as well just do it because the punishment never fits the crime. Another thing, well, and then as for drug dealers, I don't think drug dealers should go to prison either because it's stupid. It's like, what? Like, I just don't think that drug dealers should go to jail because what are you really doing? It's like, you're not really doing anything. We know that half these drugs are here because the government put them there. So, it's like, I don't think you should go to jail. Not even just because the law is mostly, is always unfairly applied to black people, but just the fact that the government put these drugs here in the first place! So, why are we going to jail for it? So, that's all I have to say for today. I have more. Like, I definitely have more. I'll probably make another unpopular opinions podcast later. Like, you know, in a few weeks maybe, in a few months maybe. Yeah, because I didn't get to nearly some interesting ones. This was a lot of fun, though. But yeah, so in conclusion, I'm not radical. You are weak. That's what it is. And you know, if you have an opinion and you have facts, then stand in it. Stand in it. Yeah, that's all I have to say to you guys for today. So thank you for listening to this one, and I'll see you guys in the next one.